वाणीर्भवति भारत। अध्युत्थानम् अधर्मशम् तदात्मानम् सृजाम्यहम्। परित्राणाय साधुना विनाशाय च दुष्कृता। धर्म संस्थापनार्थाय शम्भवामि युगे युगे, शम्भवामि युगे युगे। हरेर्नाम हरेर्नाम हरेर्नामै युगे बलम्। नास्तेव 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 गतिरं नथा।
हरे कृष्ण, गुड मॉर्निंग एंड वेलकम टू आवर वीकली कृष्ण कॉन्शियस रेडियो शो। Wishing you a very happy and prosperous day. We invite you all to visit the Hare Krishna Temple, which is at 1229 Coatesville Revived Highway, also known as Highway 28. The prayers there in the temple starts every morning from 4:30 with Mangal Aarti. Then there is Lord Singar Aarti at 7 o'clock, and the darshan is closed from 1 to 4 p.m. after the midday Bhoga Aarti. The darshan then reopens at 4 p.m. followed by Sandhya Aarti at 7, and the temple closes for the day with the evening Aarti at 9 p.m. Every Sunday there is a special public program called Sunday Love Feast, which starts with Kirt at 12 o'clock. The midday Aarti of their lordships is held at 12:30, and from 1 o'clock there is a discourse based on Srimad Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, after which we practice Japa meditation for a while, followed by Guru Puja of our founder Acharya, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, and the program ends with a love feast at 2:30. All of you, along with your family and friends, please come along and visit their lordship Sri Radha Giridhari, Jagannath Baladev Subhadra, and Gauri Nitai, and get their blessings by listening to their holy teachings and honoring Mahaprasad, and get yourself and your friends blessed.
Hanuman tells Pandit, I'm sorry, I don't have time to stop. I don't have time to, you know, pause over here. I need to reach my destination. So Hanuman, he just touches the mountain and he leaves. So as all of us are practicing our spiritual lives and we are on our journey towards finding Bhakti Devi, we will always find the golden mountain. The golden mountain represents complacency and comforts. Anyone who takes up spiritual life, there will always be someone who will tell you, why you are doing so much? Why you are being so intense? Cool down. You are still young. You are still so small. Just have some fun in life. Don't be so intense in spiritual life. When you get older, then you can take up spirituality seriously. They tell you a lot of that. They tell you, don't overexert yourself. Spiritual life should be taken slowly. They don't understand that for a devotee, spiritual life is an emergency. It is not a slow, you know, cool thing. It's an emergency that we need to really put full intense energy in. So Hanumanji dealt with the first obstacle, discomfort, by being very alert and being focused on his mission. As he went ahead, he comes across a second obstacle. And the second obstacle on Hanumanji's path is a huge demoness whose name is Surasa. So Surasa comes out from the middle of the ocean and she confronts Hanumanji and tells him, I have a boon from Lord Brahma that anyone who flies across this ocean has to enter my mouth. So you cannot undo Brahma's boon. So you have to be my food. Hanumanji tells us, see, I have no problem in entering your mouth, but just I need to complete my mission. After I come back, you can eat me, no problem. Surasa was very upset with Hanumanji. He said, how dare? She said, you are saying you are a devotee of the Lord, but why are you scared of dying? Devotee should not be scared of death. Hanuman told her, my dear Surasa, I have no problem with dying, but I don't want to die for nothing. I don't want to die for a stupid reason. So he said, I don't mind dying, but let me finish my mission, then I'll die. So Hanuman is a very, very clear devotee. If a devotee is challenged by death itself, they will not succumb to death because they want to complete their mission. So a devotee he's not scared of dying, but he doesn't want to die for a useless reason, basically. Even in his death, there should be meaning, basically. So Hanumanji tells her, I'm sorry, I can't. So Surasa opens her mouth so widely that she doesn't give any scope for Hanuman to escape. So Hanuman makes himself bigger than her mouth. So Surasa opens her mouth even wider. Hanuman becomes even bigger. Surasa becomes even bigger. Hanuman becomes even bigger. It goes on and on till Surasa opens her mouth 100 dozenas in height. So Hanuman realizes, why am I trying to compete with her? Hanuman suddenly reduces his size to a very tiny, insignificant size. And he enters her mouth, then comes out from her mouth. He tells her, see, I've taken care of Brahma's boon. I've entered your mouth and come out. Now let me go. Surasa is very impressed with Hanumanji's intelligence and presence of mind. She blesses him and she tells him, I bless you that you'll be victorious. So Hanuman goes ahead on his journey. Surasa represents the second obstacle that comes on our path. Surasa represents the competitive mentality. Many times we are all on a journey to find Bhakti Devi. But somewhere on the journey, we somehow get into a competitive mindset with other devotees. Somehow we start trying to prove to others that I'm better than you. So I'm chanting 64 rounds. Now I'm chanting 192 rounds. Yeah. Somebody says, I'm fasting every Ekadasi Nirjal. So I fast every second day Nirjal. Yeah. So they go on and on talking about how great one is and how great one's spiritual life is. So many times, in the whole process of trying to prove that I'm better than you, we forget the goal that we're trying to achieve. The goal of spirituality is not to prove that I'm better than any other devotee. The goal of spirituality is to reach Bhakti Devi. So a lot of times, we get trapped in this Surasa competitive mentality. We're trying to prove that I'm bigger than some other devotee. Hanuman, how did he deal with it? Hanuman reduced himself to the size. In Valmiki Ramayana actually says he became insignificant. Not even small. Insignificant. And he entered into Surasa's mouth and came out. And he told her, you won, you are big, let me go. So a devotee is not here to prove that I'm bigger than anybody else. Let others be big. Let others be great. Let others be more powerful than us. But let us just focus on our destination, which is Bhakti Devi. And that's what we can learn from Hanumanji here. So Hanumanji realized that as long as I'm flying close to the ocean, there won't be problems. So he decided to fly high. It is explained that the skyways, there are different levels at which different things can fly. The birds can fly at a certain height. Higher than the birds is the level at which the Gandharvas can fly. Higher than the level at which the Gandharvas can fly is the level at which the Kinnaras can fly. Higher than that is the level at which Chanaras can fly. Higher than that is the level at which Garuda can fly. And much higher than that is the level at which Rudra, Lord Shiva, can fly. And Hanuman was flying at that level, the height of Lord Shiva. Imagine, of course, Hanumanji is Rudra Tattva, so he can fly at that level. So Hanuman is flying very, very high. While he was flying that high, suddenly he felt trapped. He couldn't go forward, he couldn't go backwards, he was like stuck in one place. And Hanuman, he didn't know what is happening. And that's when Hanuman realized that someone is holding me. And Hanuman remembered Sugriv telling him about this demoness whose name is Chayagrahi. Her name is also Simhika. So Chayagrahi means, Chaya means shadow. Grahi means hold. So Simhika was a demon that can hold another person using his shadow. So though Hanuman was flying so high, his shadow was on the ocean. So because the sun was above him, sun was shining on his body, and his shadow was cast on the ocean. No matter how high you fly, there'll be something that connects you to the ground. No matter how successful you are in life, there'll be something that will keep you grounded. The shadow represents one's faults. Flying high represents being successful in life. So no matter how successful you are in life, you'll have some fault. Envious people catch that fault and pull you down. The nature of envy is such that when you're trying to fly very high, there'll be someone down there trying to find one fault in you. And they'll catch hold of the fault nicely and try to pull you down. So when Hanuman was being pulled down from that height, he realized that this is a demoness named Chayagrahi. And Hanuman reduced his size, very small. She put him straight into her mouth. Hanuman went through her mouth into her tummy. While he was going through her food pipe, Hanuman tore open the whole tract. And finally Hanuman tore open the belly and came out. And Simhika was dead. Simhika represents envy. In a devotee's life, there is no place for envy. A devotee should destroy envy immediately. Because every anartha, like lust, anger, greed, etc., all anarthas can be used in Krishna's service. The only anartha that can never be used in Krishna's service is envy. And therefore, it has to be destroyed immediately. For a devotee's life, there is no place for envy. Finally, Hanuman lands in Lanka. When Hanuman lands in Lanka, he lands on a mountain named Suvela. It's very interesting that Hanuman first climbed the mountain of faith. Then he climbed the mountain of thoughts. And the third mountain that Hanuman climbs is Suvela, which is the mountain of renunciation. For one to reach Bhakti Devi, one has to climb these three mountains: faith, thoughts, and renunciation. When Hanuman was standing on the mountain of renunciation, he saw Lanka, this golden, dazzling city of Lanka. Now imagine the beauty of Lanka's palaces and beauty of Lanka's kingdom. But Hanuman was not attracted to the beauty of Lanka. You know why? Because he was standing on the mountain of renunciation. When you stand on the mountain of renunciation, nothing distracts you. Nothing can attract you. For you to be able to resist the glitter of this world, you need to stand on the mountain of renunciation. And in Lanka, there was a fourth mountain. The fourth mountain was the mountain on which Ravan's palace was. And the fourth mountain is known as Trikuta Parvat. The fourth mountain represents the mountain of pride. And Ravan was sitting on that mountain. So he didn't climb the mountain of faith. He didn't climb the mountain of higher thoughts. And he didn't climb the mountain of renunciation. Ravan straight away climbed the mountain of pride. Sita Devi was with him in Lanka. But though Bhakti Devi was with him, he didn't attain Bhakti Devi. He tried to forcibly carry Bhakti Devi with him. But it doesn't mean that he attained Bhakti Devi. The unfortunate part is because Ravan was standing on the mountain of pride, he could not see Sita in the way Hanuman could see her. Hanuman, when he entered Lanka, as he was trying to enter into Lanka, he came across a fourth obstacle. He actually waited for the night time to come. And he reduced his size to a size of a cat. And he tried to enter Lanka through the gates. And as he was trying to enter Lanka through the gates, a huge demoness came and threw a spear in front of him and stopped him from going ahead. So Hanuman was in the form of a monkey. He was not in the form of a vanara. He told, Lankini, this lady, she was the immigration officer of Lanka. Her name was Lankini. So before entering into any country, you need a visa, right? So somebody is there who checks your visa. So similarly, Lankini was there. She asked him, With whose permission have you entered Lanka? Hanumanji said, I'm a monkey. Why do I need permission to enter anywhere? So Lankini says, no. In Lanka, even a mosquito has to take a permission of Ravan to enter. You can't enter if you don't have permission. Hanuman says, see, I'm a monkey. I heard there are good fruits in Lanka. I'll just eat some fruits and go back. I'll roam around in the city. I'll go back. Lankini says, and Hanuman tells her, see, I'm a monkey. I'm asking you nicely. Allow me to go in. If you don't allow me to go in, I'll still go in anyhow. Because a monkey, once he decides to do something, nobody can change his mind. So Lankini gets very upset with Hanuman. And she pushes him. You know? And Hanuman gets pushed back so far. He gets really upset with Lankini. He jumps up and gives her one box. One tight fist on her face. So when Hanuman blows Lankini like that, of course, he understands it's a woman. So he reduces the impact of that punch. Lankini collapses on the ground and then she stands up again. So when Lankini stands up, she tells Hanumanji, I now remember, long back Lord Brahma had given me a boon that a monkey comes and punches you. That day marks the end of Lanka. And she remembered her past life. In her past life, she was the doorkeeper of Lord Brahma. And she was very proud being the doorkeeper of Lord Brahma. And she treated a lot of people badly. You know, these doorkeepers and watchmen, they have a lot of, feeling that I am in control. And they sometimes act very badly with people, right? So this Lankini, when she was the doorkeeper of Brahma's palace, she really mistreated a lot of people. When Brahma came to know that she mistreated so many people, he threw her out. In fact, he cursed her, but because you have the demonic mindset, I curse you that you will be born among the demons. And when you are among the demons, you will find demons who are more proud than you. And there you will get purified of your pride. That's how she landed up in Lanka. So she blessed Hanumanji that may you be victorious. And she disappeared from Lanka. She left Lanka for good. She went back to Brahmaloka. All of us were trying to preach. We're trying to share Krishna consciousness with the world. And it takes so much efforts, years and years of classes, years and years of association, so much time you spend with somebody, and finally somebody becomes a devotee. And Bhaktisiddhanta said that it takes gallons of blood to make one person a devotee. But look at Hanuman here. One punch, and he downloaded the entire Vedabase into her. She understood everything with one punch. Imagine, you know, what takes her years and years for us to share with somebody, Lankini got in 1 second of association of Hanumanji. That is the power of Hanuman's association. The power of a devotee's association is that in that one moment, it shakes the core of your belief systems. Lankini always believed that Ravan is my master. I need to serve my master. With one punch, Hanuman shook that core of the belief system. So Hanuman, his understanding was, worshipping master is not a problem. You should worship master. But first you should know who is your master. So he's, and just like in Mahabharata we find, Shalya was on his way to join the Kurukshetra war. And while he was on his way to join the Kurukshetra war, he comes across this elaborate arrangement of tents and so much food and all that. Shalya goes and eats nicely. 2 days he stays there as fun, all that. And after he enjoys himself like anything, has a good meal, then she declares, who has arranged this for me? I am sold out to that person. I'll be with that person for the war. And then Duryodhan comes out. He tells, I arranged. And that's how Shalya ended up being Duryodhan's party. So the Acharya's question is, this guy ate Duryodhan's meal for 2 days. 2 days Duryodhan fed him. And this person has become sold out to him. What about God who has fed you millions of lifetimes? How much you should be grateful to God? So Lankini was grateful to Ravan because he gave her food. But what about the person who gave you life itself? And that's what Hanuman's association reminded Lankini of. Hanuman, with the power of his association, was able to transform attachments that Lankini carried for such a long period of time. And that is how a devotee's association is. And Hanuman, of course, there are a lot of things that happened in the Sundar Kanda, you know, till he meets Madhu Sita. But I'll tell you one small thing which it's really so sweet and so amazing. Hanuman never saw Sita in his life. But the first time he saw Sita, when he saw Mandodari in Ravan's palace, he mistook her to be Sita for a short duration. And when he mistook her to be Sita, he actually started jumping around, dancing. So happy he was that he found Sita finally. And in his excitement, he was kissing his tail. The monkeys, when they're excited, they kiss their tail. That's what is written in the Ramayana. So he was jumping and dancing and all that. But when he actually saw Sita in Ashok Vatika, he didn't jump and dance and all. He folded his hands. When you see something mundane, you get excited. But when you see something divine, you actually become sober in life. So when he saw Madhu Sita, the first darshan he had of Madhu Sita, you know what he remembered? When he saw her, he got shocked actually. Because she looked so much like Lord Ram. Her facial, you know, face looked almost exactly like Lord Ram. The acharyas explained that she had attained Sarupya Mukti. Attained the same form as the Lord. I don't know how many of you have seen this. Even in today's world, you know, so many times husband and wife look exactly the same like each other. I mean, I know so many elderly couples whose face looks exactly the same. Why? 50, 60 years they have stayed together. They actually start looking like each other, you know. They're meditating so much on each other. And here, Sita was away from Ram for such a long time. So absorbed in meditation of Lord Ram. But Sita started looking like Lord Ram, actually. So Hanumanji, his first darshan of Madhu Sita was such a divine experience for him. And that is how Hanuman actually experienced the association of Sangha Madhu Sita. Of course, as I said, Sundar Kanda is like an ocean. We can go on speaking for hours and hours on the Sundar Kanda Ramayana. But at this point, I'd like to stop here and...
mentioned that Mother Sita got the Sarupya Mukti, but what I have heard is that Sita is actually Lakshmi. So does she need to get Mukti?
This is a bhavartha. So when you hear narration from Ramayana, hear narration from scriptures, remember there are two ways to study scriptures. The one way to study scriptures is technically. The second way to study scriptures is from the point of view of mood and from the point of view of bhava that the scripture is trying to share with us. So usually when you study Ramayana, or for that matter, you know, any other scripture also, I would say, I prefer to study from the point of view of mood. And the mood is so powerful in terms of being laced with devotion as compared to the technical aspect of it. So technically, Sita is, you know, the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi Devi herself. She has, you know, transcended much, much more than all the Muktis personified, basically. You understand? So that's not the goal of her life, and that's not even necessary for her. But the bhava with which she, that this whole narration comes, is a very, very powerful bhava. Imagine, you know, soft in Ram that she looks like Ram. So I would prefer to look at the book from that point of view. I look at the story from that point of view.
So like Prabhuji, how Hanuman, when he received the instructions, he developed determination. So how can we develop the determination?
It's developed when you are so intensely focused on one thing. See, what happens is usually our mind is running at full pace. You know, you want to do this also, you want to do this also, you want to do this also, you know, you want to do so many things, basically. So when the mind is running in many directions, the determination to do one thing properly doesn't come. So the idea of to develop determination is to focus on one thing very intensely. That is when you can achieve great things in life. So if you look at any person who has achieved great things in life, you remember, you'll always see that that person has focused on one thing properly. Whether you take sports people, whether you take, you know, people from the business line, or you take any student also, you know, if you focus on one thing with full intensity, that leads to determination. So my suggestion to you is, first, you develop that one thing you want to focus on and spend the rest of your life on it. Like, I'll tell you, Beethoven, I don't know if you've heard of this man named Beethoven. Beethoven was a very famous musician in the past. And once the Queen of England attended his performance, and this queen was so impressed with Beethoven, she went and told him, "This is the best performance I've ever attended in my life." You know what Beethoven told her? Beethoven told her, "For this 1 hour of performance, it has taken me 40 years of practice, 8 hours a day."
The question is, it is stated innumerable times that when the Lord appears in the material world, he is accompanied by his associates who take up different roles to aid the Lord in his pastimes, such as Lord Balram being Lakshmana. In the Ramayana, who are some of the other personalities?
So you're talking about Krishna Leela and Ram Leela in that sense. Okay. In the Ram Leela, we find so many people who are the Krishna Leela. The Ambavan himself. But from Ram Leela into Krishna Leela, you find all the Vanaras, they all have their roles. Like Arjun is Vali not exactly Arjun is Vali, but the idea of Indraputra being Vali is a similarity, basically. Suryaputra being Karna. So here in Ramayana, Suryaputra is Sugriv. So, or for example, if you look at all the other Vanaras, so each Vanara represents one of the eternal associates of the Lord. There are so many associates like that have come from the spiritual world. Like the Skewad, that is a boatman, he was tortoise in the spiritual world. And he comes as a boatman to help the Lord. So like that, each of the great devotees of the Lord, Bharat, Shatrughan, Lakshman, Bharat, they represents different aspects. Like, for example, one way of comparing is the four brothers represent Shambhu, Chakra, Gada, Bhagna of the Supreme Lord. So like that, there are so many ways in which you can look at the connections of the different personalities in the Ramayana and Krishna Leela.
Vasi Ram 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 Dashrata Nandana Janaki Jivana Sita Mohana.